This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
By the way, we are at Hialeah Park. Remember, we're giving away a brand new Mustang, and it's downstairs, an electric Mustang. Okay, and every time you play the loosest slots in the state, which is, of course, documented, you get entries. So come on down. You might win anyways with the loosest slots, you know, in the state. And then at the same time, you're getting entries, which they give it away at the end of the month. It's on a Saturday night, March 30th, I believe, right? March 30th, Saturday night. And it's at 1 a.m., which is really, you know, early Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? But you got to be here Saturday night. You got to be here live at 1 a.m. for the drawing. Okay, because you get to, like, drive away with it, like, right away if you win. Okay, so you can come because maybe you'll watch Sean, my wife, maybe myself drive away with it, you know? We're not employees, so we are eligible, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my man Steve is not eligible.
I'm not eligible, no.
But we are eligible, okay? We've been trying, bro. We've been trying. So
Earn entries all month.
I know.
March 1st till March 30th. You can earn entries every day.
Every day.
Every single day.
Every single
day. And maybe you win while you're earning entries.
Yep.
It's possible.
So I tell you the name Odell Beckham and you say?
Hey, Vay. So I'm you're cautiously optimistic. I guess it'd be, you know, It's more news than anything.
So we broke the news. I know Barry gets his credit and all that stuff, but I do things sometimes subliminally. So I'm not an OBJ fan. Never been an OBJ fan.
He's getting old.
Okay, so I get a couple birdies in my ear that this thing is, you know, there's a meeting and they're
going to happen.
And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And they're like, listen. And so I'll give you some of the information I got. Okay. You're not bringing him in to be a savior, not to be a number one or number two. He's going to be a complimentary player. And you already signed Jonnu Smith, who's one of the three fastest tight ends in the NFL. So that's really your third option. So he's going to be part of your fourth option with your running backs, catching passes, kind of like that. And then, times, if you remember the first year of Waddle, they didn't have any receivers. Remember where Waddle played a lot? Inside.
Yeah. So
OBJ plays no inside.
He sucks
inside. You don't want him inside. You want him outside. So you can attack defenses by putting Hill and OBJ outside. You put Jonnu and Waddle inside. And then if your offensive line gets injured, to the point again last year where you lose guys and you only have time for one option, now you have four fast options, which you only had two that the defense could focus in on last year.
Well, you're assuming that Odell is still as fast as he used to be.
No, he's fast, but he's not as fast as he used to be, but he's faster
than
any fourth wide receiver in the NFL any fourth corner that's going to cover him. Remember, it's not a first corner, it's not a second corner, and it's not even your key safety covering him. The key safety is going to worry about Jonnu Smith.
It's your third or fourth guy. Third or fourth guy covered him. I get it.
Okay, so, and then you've got, wait a minute, I'm not done. And then there's Mostert and Achan coming out of the backfield. So it gives, when Tua drops back, he has all quick twitch players where he didn't have quick twitch players before. And then in those moments that you really want to spread it out, you bring him out in a third receiver set, you put him outside, and you put Waddle inside, because Waddle has the experience of running inside and the toughness, and Tua and him have that chemistry. So, and again, here's the other thing. Because you're not bringing him in to be a savior, he understands supposedly that he's not going to be a savior. He can't be asking for savior money anymore.
No, I'm sure.
It's like a $5, $6 million deal with a bunch of incentives.
I think there's another positive, and I hesitate to say this positive.
Oh, and by the way, one more positive that I was told. I go to him, well, bro, this guy's a head case. And he goes, what's he been doing lately? And you think about it, the last couple of years with the Rams and the Ravens, he's not making love to kicking nets. He's not fighting them. He's not fighting DBs. He's not taking off to Miami Beach in jeans on a boat, which That's the good thing. If OBJ signs here, he'll learn how to dress on a boat.
White shoes. Saying, white shoes. He's getting older.
They were terrible. I mean, you leave the Giants to go South Beach, and you're all dressed in jeans on a boat. You're dressed like you're in a club, and it's like you just took off your shirts. Like, guys, you're in South Beach. You're on a boat. Buy the apparel, bro.
Yeah, first of all, long pants don't run in Florida, but I don't think they get that until they live here a while.
Especially a boat.
Yeah, a boat. Forget
it.
I don't
think I've ever been allowed on a boat.
I'm not sure I've ever worn long pants on a boat in Florida ever.
Or in shoes. They had they were like, they had no attire to be on a boat. That's the one thing that stood out to me. Besides leaving the team, I was like, guys.
Yeah, inexperience. It's just inexperience.
Rookie, you know, come on, you know. So he'll learn at least how to dress here to get on a boat, you know what I'm saying?
And enjoy himself on the water.
So when I tell you all of that the gamble's not going to be big, then how do you look at it then?
Okay, so I'm a fan. So it's a little bit jaded, to say the least. You have to remember something. I also still have a little place in my heart for the Giants. Okay. So I'm even a worse jaded fan, but not
like a bunch of you six borough people that live here.
Yes, yes, we have.
I've always called this place a six borough.
I also love Joe Namath. You know, the whole nine yards.
We've heard, brother, you're not the first New Yorker any of us have run into saying that. You know,
I mean, it's just like I absolutely automatic. Adore the guy. The guy is like, he's my hero and has been since I was 12. And I'm pretty old. But
Steve Goldstein is the voice of the Panthers. And we know he loves the Rangers.
Yeah.
He grew up in New York,
yeah,
in Brooklyn. I think he's a Brooklyn kid. And he was a Rangers fan,
yeah.
Bro. You know what I'm saying?
The Garden,
so,
blah,
the
blah,
Garden,
blah, blah.
So you can't take somebody's – you're never going to take the Phillies and Mike Schmidt out of me.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know. Although Mike Schmidt, you can take it out of it because he's tough on the fans.
No, but I
always worried about that. I always got mad about that.
I know he's a first class dick. I know. But
great ball player.
But that's my favorite baseball player of all time.
Clutch.
You know, but I grew up as I didn't have the Marlins, so I grew up as a Phillies fan with Steve Carlton, Trujillo, and all that. So that was my teams were. By the way, Mr. Philly. My teams were the Sixers, the Flyers.
No, that's my son's, Mr. Philly.
Oh, okay, right.
Remember, I'm a New York fan. I moved to South Jersey. I didn't realize South Jersey wasn't
was like Philly.
Yeah, another borough of Philadelphia.
Outside of the Eagles, I used to root for the three Philly teams when I was a kid. And I didn't have the three sports.
Did
I ever tell you this story?
No.
My dad was a trucker, and he had a trucking company out on Okeechobee Road. And this is why we always used to be here at Hialeah Park all the time.
Okeechobee Road's a couple miles away.
Right. He was right off of 100, right off of Okeechobee Road in the Palmetto. You know where the mall is now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was his property.
Oh wow, wow.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
But it wasn't as densely populated. It was.
No, it gets worse. It was his property before the guy that sold it that really made the money.
Oh, man. You wouldn't be here if he sold it to the mall people.
No, I would not be here.
You'd be on some island.
That was his second property. If you drive by the Palmetto and Okeechobee, and then you see the Arby's and the McDonald's and all that, and then right next to it, there's a little trucking company. That's his.
Wow.
That was called AG Trucking. Al Zugarry and Gonzalez Trucking.
Wow.
And then he had so many trucks that lot was full of trucks. And it was the only lot where you would pull out the trucks, and then the mechanics were all there. He had a mechanic here, but it grew so much that they had to then there. And then eventually.
But now the trucking must have brought you to Philadelphia?
Yes. So we would go to Philly and Dover, Mass, for auctions. And so we would buy the truck, well, not we, my dad would buy the truck with a flatbed, right? And then we'd buy three or four of them, and we'd stack them on top of each other.
Oh, and drive them down, yeah.
And drive them down, and then he'd build them up into dump trucks, and then he'd ship them to Panama. Because back in the 70s and early 80s, Panama was washing everybody's money in the world. And they were. Have you ever been to Panama City?
Panama
I'm talking about Panama.
No.
in Panama, where the canal is and all that,
yeah,
they were laundering money like it was, and they still do, I think.
Yeah, because I think they haven't stopped that process in Panama.
At that time, they were building banks in every corner of every block, and they needed construction. So he took advantage of that.
Beautiful.
And so and so since I went to Philadelphia so much, I went to the vet.
Flyers. Were you a Flyers fan?
Yeah, I was a Flyers fan.
They were big time then.
I know, Broadway.
Oh, bullies. Broadway bullies, man. They were big time.
I know.
And good.
And I have a 6-foot poster in my studio of the Doc.
Of the what?
The Doc.
Oh, wow.
You're not going to take
met
Dr.
Him.
J out of me. That's my favorite player of all time. I met him, too.
Let me tell
years
you.
Years later, but he's super classy.
A gentleman of a man.
Yeah. I met Schmidt, and he was a dick. I met Dr. J. He was awesome.
Couldn't have been nicer. And I gave him a casino credit line.
Yeah.
I gave him like a $30,000 credit line.
Okay.
You know? And they which was like, you know, peanuts to him. But
yeah, of course.
And he also had a lot of good business. They had like the Coca-Cola bottling company in Philadelphia.
No, he was a smart business.
Yeah, he couldn't have been a nicer guy. I met him about four
awesome.
Or five times, and he's I met him at Harrah's Atlantic City. And just a classy guy. And so you're at Philly. And were you Eagles, too?
Yeah. No. I grew up with the Dolphins, bro.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm a hometown guy.
Okay,
all the way
I was going to say. I thought maybe you get.
No. Yeah. Don't push it.
Yeah, because that would have been. I would maybe. I would have to.
Don't insult me. Now.
Yeah, that would be.
Now you pushed it.
No, that would have been rough, man.
No. I had the three. No, seriously. I had the 3 or 4 because I didn't have a Heat.
Oh, Iverson. I guess Iverson was playing back. Was
no,
Iverson?
No. I already had my. I already had the Heat then at that time. No. I got the Heat in 88.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, Iverson was already no. I was right in that Barkley era. That's when the switch came. When the switch. Those Barkley teams were my last teams and all that kind of stuff. Once I got an 88 and I got my cycle, I'm off and running and I'm done. I'm screw Philadelphia.
So
you know what I'm saying? But you can't take the past out of me. Because Andrew Toney or White Chocolate or Chocolate Thunder or Daryl Dawkins, all that.
Daryl Dawkins.
I will live with. In fact, our first basketball game here, before we got the Heat, was the Sixers and the Nets, and Dawkins was now playing for the Nets, and the Doc was playing for the Sixers, and they played at the Knight Center in Miami.
Really?
We packed it, which is not hard to do because it's like this size, but that was our first basketball
what time,
game.
And wait, it probably had New York and Philadelphia fans because it was probably the winter. Flying down.
It was 87 or 86
or
something.
I'm sure they were playing in March or April.
Yeah, check it out. Tell me the date.
No, they wouldn't be playing in March. No, maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't have been.
It was probably a preseason game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a preseason game. Yeah, it was Sixers versus Nets at the Miami Knight Center, 80s. I would say 87, 86. It has to be the year before, too, before the expansion.
So
that like for me was my Then I switched over. So you know I understand.
So a giant connection, my first NFL game.
Us older guys, we have to. That has to be part of our lives when we're in a town that's very transient and new with teams, and you come from a city that has the teams for 100 years. You know, it's different.
And the first NFL game I ever went to was a New York Giant game. So, you know, that's kind of like a thing. Like, okay, you don't really forget that. And I remember going to Giant games was freezing cold.
God.
It was like horrible. I mean, I really did this day. I watched it on TV. I'm like, oh, those poor souls. And I'm talking about the fans. I guess the players, too.
What, did you see what happened in the Kansas City game with Miami?
Yeah, so X amount of guys frostbite. Yeah, like lots of people.
Cutting limbs off and shit. I mean,
fingers and
had some idiots that are out there, shirtless or whatever. It's like, yo, bro, it's frostbite.
It's bad. But so my thing is, I think has some positive possibilities for the Dolphins. The OJB experiment, potential experiment. I also think, and I hesitate, people will probably write into your show and say, that guy's nuts if he thinks that. But there might be
No, most people feel like you. No, seriously.
No. I just said the next thing. I'm saying, there might be some positive veteran locker room leadership that could be had.
I don't know from him.
I hesitate with leadership, but he's been around. Yeah. He could help some of the younger guys.
He might
be a decent teammate in the locker room.
The part I couldn't argue when they told me, he goes, what's he been doing lately? Is he doing anything stupid out there, crazy? No.
Well, in the last 5 years, not really.
Not,
right?
Not five, but like last two or three. It's really not.
Maybe, you know, I don't know.
It's been a while. It's been a while, actually.
He might be a decent influence.
Or maybe he got humbled.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Or maybe just trying to say, look, I got to pile on as much as I can because another year or two, this is all over.
He made a killing last year.
I know, but it's going to be over soon. He knows it's over.
Oh, no, it's over now.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing I want to tell people out there. You guys know Chris Greer. So many of you are so worried about, oh, my God, he's going to pay him a bunch of – you know Chris Greer.
No, he's going to
– What are the three words? What are his three words? His slogan, low-hanging fruit. That's what he does,
yeah.
And he's exceptional at it. And so if he goes after you, he's not really going to roll the red carpet out unless you're like a really top-notch player. Then he'll go for Armstead
or Tyree, or
Jalen Ramsey or whatever. Yeah, he's going to go overboard for Chubb. He's going to go overboard for those elite guys. He'll do that.
Those are game changers.
Exactly. Nailed it.
Yeah, that's...
And that's where I don't think they look at him that way. They look at him like a complimentary player. And as long as he sees himself as a complimentary player also, then we're all good.
Listen, I guess when you really sum it up, I guess my response should have been, everybody from New York ends up in Florida when they're ready to retire. Right. He's just pre-retired.
Right.
You know, it's like a pre-retirement plan for OJB. You know, like, you know, I was in New York and I visited a couple other cities, and now I'm going to retire in South Florida.
Yeah.
It's sort of like how many people can say that in South Florida? Probably about a million.
Yes.
You know, so I mean, he's just doing what everybody else has done.
Yes.
He's just, you know, so that's nothing bad.
Right.
He's doing what I did or plan to do when I do retire at some point.
And he did it faster than you did.
Yeah, and a lot faster and a lot more money.
Yeah. And we definitely can't compare bank accounts. So,
anyhow,
that's one bank account I would like to have.
Let's talk about your Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
So, you know, let's talk about free agency in Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a component, you know, we're all talking about, oh, yeah, you know, Jonah Smith so fast, blah, 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 blah. Maybe he is. But I think he's a B player at this point in time. I understand he's fast, but he could be better. He could be better than B. And there's a couple other good ones. The defensive, what was the
Jordan Brooks?
Jordan Brooks.
That's an A plus.
That's
an upgrade.
That's an A.
I actually think they got better at inside linebacker with Jordan Brooks over
Deshaun? No.
It's Baker. Jerome Baker. And I think they're better in the secondary. Because I think X was done, dude. And I think Fuller's
Well, he was injured this year.
He's been injured the last couple of years.
We have lost a few guys.
Yeah, of
course. There's no doubt about it.
Wilkins part, we don't know. That is an unknown there if we're going to be better there.
You know,
now, we may get a draft pick there. I think the first, second round pick could be a defensive tackle.
Oh, for Christian Wilkins?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, yeah, that was a big loss.
Yeah.
He couldn't afford it, so you got to do it, right? I mean, I get it, but...
It's not that you couldn't afford it. They didn't want to afford it.
No, but then next year they would be out of money.
Right, exactly. you need to sign... The next wave was more important.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was... And Xavier Howard, you know, another one is
done.
Expensive. Nobody's expensive, too. It's expensive. But you still lose him, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think...
Deshaun Elliott?
I think that's a positive by a negative. I don't know how you... I know I'm phrasing it the wrong way, but...
Addition
by subtraction is exactly the term I wanted to use. It was time for X to move on. It was time already.
Yeah, It seems like we did okay.
I'd say okay.
I grade it B minus. I'm a B minus. You might be a little higher.
All right, that's fine.
Might be a little higher. I'm hoping that the draft is better than this. I feel better about the draft than this.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm looking at what we lost, what we gained. I mean, I don't know. It's not like it's game changing. But then again, was there really anything available that the Dolphins needed that would be game changing that they could afford? You know what I mean? It's kind of a weird.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
You don't want to ruin the next wave. You want to keep those guys. Clearly, they're trying to save space.
You.
And keep the next wave of guys.
Yeah, so it was. I think it has a B minus event.
I don't
us.
Have a problem with a B.
Yeah,
a B
I mean, it's, you know, it's not. Now, what do you think about the guys that made the big splash, the teams that made the big splashes, like Atlanta and I guess Houston, and there's a couple other teams that, what do you think about, who do you think made the best move in terms of changing their chances of making the playoffs and going maybe one or two wins into the playoffs? I have my
Houston,
opinion.
Houston actually did a nice job.
I think Houston
Kind of, but they're so green. I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy, so.
But you know what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? They're going to win their division, the AFL.
Oh, yeah,
they're going to win the South, right? And they're going to they might squeak out a victory, and then they're going to lose.
Maybe.
That's what they're going to do. Hey, look, yeah. That's a lot better than the last four years.
Yeah, a wild card.
I also believe.
But Houston, I like them more as a complete team. Now, it's a lot to ask because they're still young.
Yeah, but so, they I don't know. I think
their division isn't great either.
I think Houston did fantastic.
Yeah, no, they did excellent.
I'd say Houston and Atlanta did well.
They did excellent.
In terms of improving their current team. Because
I agree.
Atlanta had a lot of room to improve. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No,
they were kind of easy to improve.
They were terrible.
And I also think, I shouldn't say this, because I kind of like, you know, I respect and like Arthur Blank as an owner. But I think he's saying, hey, I want to win this one. You know, and I think he thinks he did enough to now get his team to win a division and go deep into it. I think he thinks, hey, I think I can actually win the Super Bowl with these guys. I don't think he can, but I think Arthur Blank thinks it.
Right.
You know, I think, and so that's good. I think it's, hey, I think they're in Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons fans should be feeling good. Houston was a good team that I think got substantially better.
Yes.
I think they got there. And, yeah, Young, I think Young is good.
Yeah.
I think Young is good. Guys are trying to prove themselves.
Yeah, yeah, but you still need some veteran leadership to kind of get you through some of that. But, I just don't want to put too much pressure on them because they had a surprise year for people. And now they're going to have tape on everybody. And so, you know, this is the year where you find out if you really were something real last year or you surprised people. Because now they'll have tape on you, and then we'll see if you figure things out.
Here's my message to your listeners. Fantasy football players should load up on some Atlanta Falcons and Houston players. I'm telling you, I think both teams are going to score a lot of points. I think Houston's going to have a better defense. I think Atlanta didn't really address the defensive side at the level they need to. But I think both teams are going to be considerably better. And when I go for my fantasy draft this year, I'm going to be looking at way more players on Houston and Atlanta than I did the last 3 years. That's for sure.
Right.
So they're going to be more fun to watch, too, which is our team. You know, our team is that's another – now, getting back to the Dolphins. We are really an exciting – the Dolphins are an exciting team to watch. We throw the ball. We throw it deep. You know, we got, like, guys all over the place, and it's kind of fun.
I just hope that they can stay healthy this year.
Assuming that they stay healthy, I still think that the defense – is C. I don't even think it's B minus. I think they're C.
And it's still unknown. I gotta wait till
you can't say it's an A or B.
I know I can't until I see them actually take, because we have a new defensive coordinator.
So
again, you know, even though I like what he's all about and how he talks and how he carries himself and where he comes from,
he's got
and
a
all that
decent resume.
He's got all the foundational things that you want in a coach, okay? Where he comes from, how he handles himself, how he carries himself, all that kind of stuff. Now we got to see if he can put it together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one thing is being an assistant coach, now being the defensive coordinator. You know, so if he is good, then, you know, that the defense might be better than it was. You know, one of the things I talked about yesterday that I did not like was a lot of the young guys did not get opportunities with Fangio.
It was weird. Fancy, I don't know about Fancy. I don't think he wanted to be here.
Right, and maybe he just knew it was a year, so let me just play Deshaun Elliott and let me just play any veteran corner, but I'm not going to play you, Cam. You know what I mean? And there was another young player that didn't get a lot of playing time under him besides Cam. Who was the other guy that we talked about on defense? But either way, you have some guys that just didn't get in there, and so maybe I'd like to see what Anthony Weaver does. And if he starts weaving in all these different players and starts having patience. Oh, Kader Kohou. Kader Kohou, like, you know, he got like, you know, he had a terrible year. And you just wonder, well, wait a minute, how was he so good last year? And then now this year he's so bad and he had like a terrible year. So I'm excited to see what Weaver does with Kohou. And then hopefully also with Cam, because Cam was looking good in camp. But again, camp is bullshit compared to the regular season.
So back...
We don't know what Weaver is as a teacher.
No, time will tell. But there is a guy.
Defense could end up becoming better.
There's a guy I'm going to miss that's not going to be wearing a Dolphin jersey. And my wife's going to miss him too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a bummer. That guy was a little bit underrated. He was a little bit of a bargain. He was a hell of a, you know, a defensive. I just, when I saw that one, he went to Minnesota, right? I mean,
yeah.
Which, I don't
Brian
know.
Flores.
I guess. I know. But I mean, how did we let him walk away?
29 years old and coming off a Liz Frank injury. They don't know yet how he's going to come back. Even though he's a quality dude, Liz Frank is a very dangerous injury.
He got that at the end of the season, right towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of players that don't come back the same with that Liz Frank injury. They never have the same quickness. They can't cut the same. I believe that's what stopped Udonis Haslem. Once he had that foot injury, I think it was Liz Frank, he was never the same player again. And so this happens to a lot of players.
What exactly is the injury? I mean,
it's somewhere in the arch. I'm not smart enough for it.
Yeah, it was a foot injury. I thought it was like they stretch it out. They do something
serious.
Well, I know personally I have some friends that have had foot issues, right? They literally friends when they get an operation on their...
And he's going to be 29 this year.
So it's not that old, though. Come on.
A linebacker?
Nah, I don't think it is.
For pass rusher, you're gonna want a guy that's...
I didn't realize it was that old, but I can tell you...
Right, and this is his peak years.
Yeah.
In other words, you're signing him. This last contract is
it. This is it. Yeah, this is it.
And so I think they felt like we don't want to take the gamble, and they let him go.
But it was inexpensive, wasn't it?
$20 million.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that expensive.
Well, I guess for Van Ginkel, that was a good... Yeah, he makes a score.
And he's from there. He's from that area.
So
I think the Vikings are like 60, 80 miles away from his hometown or some shit like that.
Yeah. So he's going home, forget going home. He's going to $20 million. I mean, that's pretty good too. You know.
No, but I think the home thing is very important.
Yeah, kind of helps.
They're both Midwest people, and they kind of like that. Even though they looked like they were enjoying the hell out of themselves here in South Florida, and they wanted to be here, but hey, man.
You know, I got a little game
to
play.
Listen, it hurt me. The AVG,
that was a tough one.
I'm just giving you kind of the stuff that I've picked up from and why these things were done. And I think the Liz Frank and going to be 29.
No, it's understandable. Okay.
Wilkins is also going to be 29, and he's got more mileage at defensive tackle than any defensive tackle that was available in free agency because he plays every single down. He does not come off the field. So he has a lot of wear and tear also.
So I got a little game to play here before I leave here. So there's this article. It doesn't matter where the article is, but it's list the top moves in football that were made, trades and free agencies. If you were to rate them in A, B, or C, okay. I'm just going to blurt the name. I'll say it a grade. You say a grade.
Okay.
Chris Jones.
A Come plus.
On. Yes.
It's the reason why they'll be in the Super Bowl again.
Justin Matabuki.
Yeah.
Got to be an A, right? Yeah. All these are. Now, what about Snead?
Oh, God. If you can get him, that's an
but
A.
That, yeah, but he still hasn't. He's available.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, Matt Verderam, who covers he's like a Chiefs insider, and he covers the Chiefs and the NFL. This guy wants like $22 million. He wants to be paid the number one corner in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth it.
He's great, but they tagged him, so he's going to get paid the tag if he can't get,
get a better deal. But
he can't get a better deal.
So my point is,
nobody is going to trade picks and pay you $22 million. Nobody.
Yeah.
Unless the team says we're you from a Super Bowl. And I don't know what team out there you say, okay, you get him, you're a Super Bowl winner. Unless it's that, it's like, remember when we were a little younger and Deion said, you know what, I'm going to go help the Cowboys win a championship. Yeah. I'm leaving the San Fran Niners. I'm going to go over. And sure enough, he was the difference in why they won. And it was like, that's why, by the way, for those of you that doubt Deion Sanders and then you run into an older person and tells you, you don't know what you're talking about. You have not watched that guy's entire career. These are the moments that you go, Deion Sanders is unlike anybody I ever watched at FSU, in the NFL, playing baseball and football at the same time, changing the dynamics of an entire NFL team and an entire conference by just moving from one team to another. And so then what he did at Jackson State, nobody's going to be surprised. And what he's going to do at Colorado, nobody's ever going to be surprised. The problem is plenty of people are turned off by being so outgoing out there. You know what I mean? But you can do that if you back it up.
Yeah, well, he did back it up.
And he's
now
always backed it up. And it's like it's the whole Namath thing.
You took the words out of my mouth. You can be cool when you say you're going to win and you're a 19-point underdog.
And you win.
And
you can, you can sit on the fucking sideline with a mink, with a fur, with a mink.
In my house, in my my home office, I have that photograph.
You know, who does that shit?
It's as good as it gets.
And you can only do that shit if you can then go on the court and then just, or the ice, or the field, or the pitch, or whatever, and then follow through. And there are only a few of those people. And so for you youngins out there, if you're going to, if you think Deion Sanders is that guy that is not going to, bro, that guy backs up everything he does. And it's been like that his whole life, you know? It's just some guys have it.
So I have a Joe Namath sitting on the bench with a mink coat story. Okay. I'm in. This is quite amazing.
I got a better one after.
It's a decent. I'll try
but
to make
not,
this
but
quick.
But it's not Joe Namath.
It's Joe. So here's what. I'm in Cipriani's in New York. I'm with my buddies. We're at some big sporting event. I remember Dan Marino was there. Bob Costas. The whole nine. And they're having a silent auction. And I'm trying to get that photograph. The photograph with Namath on the sidelines, sitting next to Early Thomas, who I've met, who was my buddy's teammate at Colorado State, right? So there's two people you can see. Joe Namath with a mink coat with a pink tag, like a credentials tag, and Early. And that's one thing. I'm signing there, and who am I going against? Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, God.
And Giuliani's got his cell phone, and my neighbor's cell phone, and we're going back and forth, like $50 up every time, right? And at the same time, I'm trying to get the
Giuliani's dye is running down.
At that point, he was distinguished. He had a little gray, and so now I'm trying to get the catch, Tyree catch, and from Manning, and it's a picture autographed by both of them.
Right.
And I'm competing with Rudy Giuliani. It's me and Rudy going at it. I'm watching. I'm sitting there. I'm running up. I'm signing. Then the ice goes down. I see him walk up. And then there's a guy with him. He's signing Rudy's name, which I thought he kind of cheated on me there.
What, Rudy?
Yeah, you know, that was kind of weird, right?
Rudy cheating, lying? No,
kind of hurt me there. No, I like the guy. I like the guy, but he kind of hurt me out there. So now it's boom. I just lose track of what's going on. And they call it end to the silent auction. I win the David Tyree Manning picture. I don't win the thing.
Oh, name it.
All right. So I said, at least I beat Rudy for the Manning catch, right? So I go to pay my money, whatever the hell it was. It was a donation. I paid way too much for the photograph, right? And I said, can I just have one thing? Can I have the bid sheet? Because I wanted to be able to show everybody that I beat it. And they would not give it to me because it had his cell number on it.
Oh,
had the cell phone number on it.
Yeah, it gets a little personal. So
Or a cell phone number. I don't know if it was his. But the good thing of that story was I did not get the name of the thing. My wife, the beautiful woman that she is, that Christmas, she surprised me at Christmas. And she went online. She bought the Joe Namath with the mink coat, with the pink credentials, with Early Thomas.
Nice.
It's sitting in my home right now. I have a little collection room. I have a little memorabilia room.
Of course.
And it's one of my favorites.
Bro, that's one of the most iconic pictures in the history of the game. It's like
it would have been better.
Top five.
It would have been better to beat Rudy Giuliani out when you had his bid sheet with
that
it.
That picture goes with Muhammad Ali over Frazier, you know, the Thrill in Manila picture that's one of those pictures, bro. That's
iconic.
One of those, right, the most iconic pictures out there ever. I'll give you another first story. So a player who was not so right in his mind shows up to practice for the Bears. And he walks out onto the field, and he starts to line up to play. And he's got his uniform on, but he's also wearing a mink coat above the uniform.
McMahon?
No, Curtis Enos.
Curtis Enos?
The running back from Penn State.
From Penn State.
Yeah, Curtis Enos. I think he went to Penn State, if I'm correct. I want to say Curtis
I didn't think
Enos.
There was any cool guys that went from Penn State.
Yeah.
Good guys, but not cool guys.
Yeah, no. Maybe Franco was pretty cool, I guess.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
From New Jersey. Let me add.
Really?
Franco Harris, I'm sorry. He's from New Jersey. I just wanted to let you know.
No, but Curtis Enos, like, he shows up to practice, and he's got a mink coat on, and he's trying to practice with a mink coat, and then they got to try to convince him to just get him off the field. Forget about just taking off the coat. There's something wrong with this guy. You know what I mean?
So, well, listen.
Maybe he thought he could be Joe Namath for a moment.
Yeah, well.
He said the wife did something nice on. I was like, I thought the wife had Rudy bidding for it. That would be funny.
So back to the thing. So Kirk Cousins, good A, B, or C? What do you think?
Okay, you're Atlanta. You just had
Desmond Ryder.
Right. Okay. Ritter. This is like a B, I guess, because at least you have a decent quarterback.
Yeah,
he's a decent quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a quarterback.
He's not a bad quarterback.
I'll give it a B plus because I mean he's like. No, I think that he might do okay, but it's not. He's not going to get to the big game, he's not going to win the big game.
He's
going to do everything else.
But he's older and coming off an injury.
I think he's going to be okay with that. I really do. I think he recovers from that. And they've done a good job they got four or five receivers around. Yeah. They did a good job saying, hey, now I think it cost them, I guess, time, picks and money, because I still think that their problem is going to be defense. I think they're going to be in a.
You know, Atlanta's not in the.
They're going to be a
not
fun.
In the clear or anything, but, you know, they'll be a little better than they were last year.
No, they're going to win the AFC South. They're going to win the AFC South. Right?
Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. Isn't Baker Mayfield and the boys there?
Come on. Baker's not.
He had a good year last year,
dude. I think he had a surprise year. I was happy for him because he came out. He's sort of a little bit of a comeback.
I don't know. I wouldn't count Baker out right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't count. They brought his receiver back, Evans.
Oh, Evans is the real deal.
Yeah.
Evans is the real deal.
Obviously. So
what do you think about that pick? That was number eight, as you know, list.
No.
That's an A plus.
Tampa, you have to do that. That's one of your legendary players.
That's your team. Like,
no, but that guy's not done yet. You know what I mean? Although I saw him drop a little too many balls last year. But, you have to bring that guy back. And Baker played well last year. Maybe Baker found his way, man. Maybe Baker has the right coach and the right system. So he can get comfortable and play, you know, the way he needs to play. It's all about that. Sometimes it's about finding the right system and the right coach and all that kind of stuff.
What about Saquon, A, B, or C?
It's a B, man, easily. He's a good player, man.
But there's many people who think it's an A.
Yeah, that's fine.
He also gets hurt often.
I can't give you an A because...
You don't like Philadelphia?
No, because it's you're not really going to carry the team, because running backs really, unless you're in Baltimore where you're kind of limited with the passer, so you have to be run oriented. And so go get Derrick Henry and Lamar.
That's
and you're going to run.
That should
run.
Be an A.
Yeah, but you still have.
He's old.
No, he's fine. He's great. But my problem with that is the same thing that's going to happen in Tennessee. If the quarterback can't make plays with his arm. It don't matter, bro. They'll all stack the box, and they'll stop both of you eventually because the better defenses end up in the playoffs, and you're not going to get by. Last year, they got by because they played a young team in that first week. So they played a Houston team that was green, and they could muscle them.
And they just got – I mean,
Right.
That wasn't like they blew them completely out of anything. What about – so Derrick Henry, the problem with Derrick Henry is you talk about having mileage –
oh, but
he's a beast. He's a beast.
Still playing.
I think he's got two good years left in him. But
easy.
But he has a lot of mileage on him.
But he's a freak.
I know.
You know, LeBron has more mileage, and he's still playing.
You know, I get it.
He's still playing. He's the Jim Brown.
Yeah.
He's the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
He's that longevity stud. He's just one of those freaks.
Well, the good.
You know what I'm saying?
So what
Walter
do you think?
Walter Payton, you know, he's that dude. Derrick Henry is one of those special dudes.
Wrapping up the whole Dolphins thing, at this point in time, you don't know what the draft's going to bring. Let's say the draft is average, right? You know, there's a couple good ones, two good ones. What do you think the Dolphins are compared to they were last year? What do you think's going to happen?
I don't know
what you want.
I can't give you an intelligent opinion until I actually see the draft and then see what they put together during you know, preseason and all that, see if that's kind of falling in place, and then I'll feel better about it. Because I don't know anything about Weaver.
I personally think...
can only go on hope that I love what I see, but it still has to translate. And then McDaniel's another one that I need him to grow. Oh, my God, I need him to grow big.
I think it's going to be one notch below.
We'll see.
And as a fan, it hurts me to say that.
I'm hoping it's
one, two, three, five steps ahead. But I think it's going to be one step behind.
So let me ask you something, because this is what I ask everybody that says that. So out of the last 2 years, their biggest problem was that they were completely injured at the end of the year. So if they're healthy, aren't they better than they were last year?
Yeah, okay.
No matter, even with or without Wilkins,
okay,
with or without Rob Hunt, if everyone else is healthy, how in the hell are you not better than you were last year and the year before?
Here's my opinion on it. I think there's something wrong in the organization of why they're getting hurt.
Nah, that's just
bad
luck.
Something's weird. Why are they getting so... Why?
It's just bad luck. It wasn't like that 3, 5, 7, 10, 12 years ago. It's either you failed because you weren't good enough. You had Joe Philbin or Ryan Tannehill Dave Wonstadt or whatever. It wasn't the last 2 years...
No, you missed the worst coach to mention. You missed the worst
Philbin,
one.
Whatever.
No, the guy from...
Cameron.
No, the guy.
Cam Cameron.
The one that went to the Jets. The worst coach ever. I think that Adam Gase was the worst coach. I've ever observed in my life.
I know, but he won 10 games. I mean,
I get
it. Cam Cameron won one game. He was here 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
I still think Adam Gase was just the worst coach I ever saw. But I think,
how in the world are you not? This is what I don't understand from Dolphin fans. You are completely injured last year. Your entire offensive line was out. Your two pass rushers. Your ex was playing on one leg. Now you've got a better corner already than ex. You've got a better linebacker than you already have in Baker. And I know it's asking a lot because football is a brutal sport, but if you're just healthy, you're way better than you were last year.
That doesn't improve.
People don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I think every team gets injuries, right? So they're going to get some.
Not that many. Your whole offensive line cannot be out next year. Their line was out, and Eichenberg was injured. He was playing on one leg, filling in for Connor Williams.
That. What I'm saying is they're going to get their share of injuries. And I think they're going to be one step behind.
Okay, a share is fine.
I think it's because of defense.
I'm sure they'll get a share because that's everybody.
Yeah, that's the nature of the game.
But it cannot be that you have just been absolutely riddled with injuries. If that's the case, then you're done.
Wait, time out. If they're riddled with injuries, then my theory of something's wrong with the organization may have some merit.
If it's a third year, I'll give you that.
Okay. If they're not riddled and they have an average injuries, I still think their defense is going to be the thing that's their thorn in the side. First of all, there's no continuity. We don't even know what the guy's going to do.
So your main pass rushers last year, okay, if you get them back by the end of the year, let's say you're healthy for the playoffs.
Last year, yeah.
If you have Chubbs and Phillips and you added Shaq Barrett as your third pass rusher, wouldn't you be better?
Yeah, but
much better.
Enough to win the second playoff game. I don't know.
Yeah, if you have nobody that can get to the quarterback and you're playing with three linebackers that are 47 years old each.
Well, those guys. At that point, we were done.
Was our playoff game.
I know.
We signed three linebackers off the street to play that game.
I know.
How in the hell are we not better next year if we're healthy? Think about that. That's the part that I think all Dolph fans, because you're so beaten down, because you've been so tortured, you don't really think clearly, and you don't remember that your roster was just in shambles the last 2 years. So if you just happen to have luck on the injury side,
You should be better. We should be. Now,
should be better.
You know, there's a lot of teams that have that, what you just said. I mean,
not that many. Your left guard, your center, your right guard, the right tackle is the only one playing, right? The right tackle is the only one playing. Jackson.
No, I'm not saying the injury part. I'm saying the fans are so fed up. The New York Jet fans better be fed up.
So are Detroit fans, and now it's getting better.
Detroit is getting better. The New York Jets. Come on, give me a break.
No, it's been 10 years. There's a lot of long suffering.
It's been 10 years.
Browns fans.
Yeah, the Browns fans have been like, yeah.
They even signed a rapist, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I mean, not only do they beat you down, then they sign a criminal to be a quarterback for you.
And he gets injured.
And he's terrible. He's terrible.
Well, he's not good and he gets injured. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
in that order.
So it's even more torture for Browns fans.
I don't know. I hope it's better. I hope
I just tell everybody, pump your brakes.
Yeah, we got to be careful.
Let's don't overreact because you're not really thinking clearly. Don't get too crazy about the team either.
Yeah.
But let's wait for it to develop a little bit. Let's just see how it comes together because there's a lot of things that are unanswered. Did you know Kendall Lamb was going to play as well as he did last year?
Did I know what?
That Kendall Lamb would play as well as he did last year.
No, not even a little bit, you know.
So how do you know? I mean, how do you know the guy they added from Philly comes here and becomes like a hell of a player or something? I have no idea. Isaiah Wynn.
He was
with the Patriots for a few years. His first few years. Dante Scarnecchia is known as maybe one of the three greatest offensive line coaches. He couldn't get him to play the seven games that he played here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these are things that happen that you just never know how it's going to translate from one team to another because talent goes from one place to another. Chubb didn't look good when you traded for him.
No, right away.
And then last year, now he settled down. He was a monster. He had like 5 forced fumbles or something stupid, a bunch of sacks. He was on his way to finishing up a hell of a year. And then, you know, you have that fart at the end and the poor guy, you know, blows out his, what was it? He was the Achilles one, right? No, he was the knee guy. He's the knee guy. Phillips had the Achilles. And so,
getting Phillips back is going to be critical. I mean, that's,
yeah. and he should. You with Kohu. This guy's more of an aggressive coach and will use the physicality of Kohu. And maybe Fangio wasn't really a fan of that. And so now you're going to see Weaver maybe mix things up and maybe you'll see more out of Kohu than you did last year because he's in a scheme that fits him a lot better. Allows him to attack because Kohu is a physical player. The read and react stuff, I don't think that's good for him. Or he wasn't really ready for it yet.
Yeah, last year he disappointed us big time. But look, the good thing is that it's a new year. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping that I'm grossly wrong. I think it's going to be one notch below, but we'll see what happens. And we'll know in the first six, 8 weeks.
For sure.
You'll know it. You'll have figured this out. And
sure.
And anyhow, back to Hialeah Park.
Yes.
You mentioned the car, Mustang Mach-E.
And I think the no regret first bet there. Remember, if you do have an account already with Hard Rock, use a different email or cell number. Use that QR code. Or if you're listening on the podcast, go to HialeahParkCasino.com and then sign up through the Hialeah Park site so you can get the no regret first bet $100. And you got a Panther game tonight. You got a Heat game tomorrow night. So there you go. And the NCAA tournament.
I got to tell you, I will just end it with this. So I never really truly understood what the young guys do. My son and all his buddies, they bet the live bets, you know. I will tell you, I understand they're better, too. We talked about the odds and figuring out the whole complexion of the game, right?
Your value.
But really fun. Like, really fun. You're watching the game. You're watching the odds change right on your phone, like every couple of minutes. It adds a really fun dimension to the game.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that it was. I was not a believer until I did it. You know. And I'm not.
And I love when the Heat fall behind and then they give them a bunch of points. And I'm like, okay, because I know these bastards.
They do it with football. They do it with basketball. Basketball. It's actually better.
And knowing the Heat, you know they're gonna fight back and either win the game or barely
get
there
close.
So I love watching Heat games and then the live line because you get to the point where you're giving me too many points. I'm like, yo, let me take it.
You have to do it in segments. Like they give you, like, let's say it's a 3-point game or something. Then all of a sudden you get in 7. You're like, oh, boom. Shit. So you bang into it. Then next thing you know, you get 9.
And
oh,
you double God. It up.
Then you got to go more, right? You have to almost go more.
And I double it up.
Yeah, and it's like,
that's what I do. If I have conviction, once I have conviction on it, that I'm convinced that I am going to win, and I think, oh, no, they'll come back out within the points or whatever, I'll take it, bro. I'll take the value. I'll take the value every single time.
It's something that I didn't realize how fun it can be, and it's the their old school sports bet of making the bet before the game and seeing who wins.
It's not smart.
It's not even fun though, because it's not exciting. You know,
But really, if you're looking for value, which is what we all want to do in a casino, as you know. If you really want to look, like, you know, when you walk in a casino, craps is like the best odds.
Well, baccarat's not bad. Well, baccarat's pretty good too.
Yeah.
See
those baccarat tables.
I think craps is to play craps properly, you got to have a sizable bankroll. One of the problems with craps players are. They go
show up with $40.
They're under bankrolled.
Right. Yeah.
And then
you can't spread it out. You can't. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and it happens with a lot of gambling. Yeah. You know, a lot of.
But if you know how to play it, the odds are good in craps.
Craps.
You know what I mean?
Craps. It's
so
great.
That's kind of the way you work things when you gamble. You got to try to find the value in it, and in gambling, sports gambling, live gambling is.
Yeah. So it's the value
it's
bet.
It's the value bet. The only time the other way, the traditional way. The last 2 weeks of the NFL season. Oh, wait a minute. You want to give Kansas City points?
Twice.
No problem. I'm taking it.
I'm taking it.
And I made a bunch of money.
I still don't understand how the lines were what they were.
I don't know what happened. The algorithm said that to do it. That's what they did. And I said, bring it on. Bring it. Have you watched that defense all year? Bring it.
And they were peaking and blah, 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 blah.
They carried them, bro. It wasn't Mahomes. It was Chris Jones and that defense that carried that team.
Yeah. Yeah,
The Mahomes and the boys did enough to win, but they have no shot at winning that Super Bowl without Chris Jones. Zero. Zero.
So
and the corners.
Talking about Kansas
Him
City.
And the corners.
Talking about Kansas City, I might as well just bring it up because it's what everybody is sick of hearing. But so have you been to a Taylor Swift concert recently? No, just kidding. Just kidding. Because
she's performing here in the parking lot.
Yeah, wherever. She's like to perform. Oh, by the way, this is just to leave on to annoy Big O a little here. You know, she spent 3 summers in New Jersey at the Jersey Shore. Stone Harbor specifically. New Jersey is just everywhere.
Yes.
I just want you to know that.
Yes.
You spent time in New Jersey.
Actually, yes. I mean, in fact,
you're an example of it.
Yesterday, I was affected by New Jersey. I ran into Bruce Springsteen. I had never seen this video before, and he was singing the Commodores' Night Shift.
Really? How did it sound?
Fucking awesome.
Really?
Well, he's the boss. I mean, he's the boss. Let's go, bro. I mean, this is one of the greatest American treasures in the history of mankind.
I've seen him a couple times, and he's great.
Well, he's more than great, bro. He is so legendary.
See, I think you're a Springsteen fan because of those years spending in New Jersey.
No, I'm just a Springsteen fan because he's one of the greatest lyricists in the world. He's just an amazing musician. He plays every instrument in mankind. He can write every song of everything. He's written so many hits for himself, for others. You know, the Pointer Sisters, Fire, that's his song. You know, it just Because the Night, you know, of Patti Smith.
Oh, look, for me, it's
Bruce's.
Born to Run, it's high school, it's all nine yards, you know.
And because the algorithm knows that I like Bruce, it showed up. And I'm looking at that shit, I'm going, Night Shift, Commodores. And he's got like this big old band behind him. You got. If you can,
I'll go YouTube it. Yeah,
If you're a Bruce fan and you never saw that video, Bruce Springsteen, Night Shift, which is the one hit the Commodores had post Lionel Richie. When Lionel Richie left, they went, roof. But that was the one hit that they had. That was the one, and it's a great song. Great song by the Commodores. But you got to hear Bruce do it, bro. Bruce. Like
there was another part of Bruce that was pretty cool too, and he's passed, Clarence Clemens.
Oh yeah, I saw Clarence in the Orange Bowl.
So I hired him in Trump Plaza. We had him in a show. He was performing by himself. He did a little. He had gigs. He had some gigs on his own.
You know, he had a hit back in the day. I forgot was it Phil Collins? Was it Philip Bailey? Was it? He had a hit with somebody. It was kind of a duet type of thing back in the day.
But so with him, you know, he's not at the mega level like Bruce, but so it's an hour from Asbury Park to Atlantic City. He drives down, he plays a nice little show, and like an hour and a half meet and greet with our customers.
Yeah,
I mean, kind of as cool as you can get. You know, it's like, and then when I heard, you know,
he's a legend, bro.
Yeah, he was.
For those of us that follow it, he's just a legend to us.
Just a beautiful person too.
Yeah, a beautiful
person. Couldn't have been nicer. And we booked him twice because he was like, we got to get him back.
I'm thinking it's Paul Simon.
I don't know.
Can you look it up? Clarence Clemens hit song or something.
Clarence Clemens, it was 600 seat theater too. Kind of nice. Yeah. Really nice.
I only got to see him once, and that was the Born to Run tour. Because when I've seen Bruce after that, it was after Clarence had passed.
Oh.
But at least I got to see the E Street Band in its heyday, in its peak.
Oh, I've seen, you know, growing up in New Jersey, you see Springsteen like, you know.
Yeah, no, of course.
About 10 times. But there was one time that Springsteen played an acoustical concert. Little bit disappointing.
Oh, well, it all depends if, yeah.
He was by himself.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a show. It was right there in Asbury Park in the convention center on the boardwalk.
I bet you paid an arm and a leg.
No.
Oh, you got in?
Back then,
Oh, okay.
Oh, Jackson Browne, maybe.
Jackson Browne?
Okay. Yeah.
Jackson Browne. That makes sense.
Yeah, that would make sense.
What's the name of the song?
You're a friend of mine.
That's it. That's the song.
Clarence was the best.
That's when he had the hit song.
It's all good. But anyhow. Oh, it's all time to go.
Yeah.
I think it's time to go.
Yeah. I drove today. I walk and everything. No, there's no cart.
Looking sharp.
No cart, no cane.
Looking sharp. No cane is good.
I came in with a cane last week, and now this week I walked in.
Losing weight.
I lost over 30 pounds. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I started a diet on a bed. So if anybody tells you, and you tell yourself that you can't diet, okay? I busted my foot up, and I was on a bed for 6 weeks, barely moving, that my wife had to push me around, and I started a diet from the bed. Okay? So if I can, if my lazy ass can do it, anyone in the world can do it.
I don't know if I could do it.
Anyone can do
it. I enjoy food too much.
If I can do it, anybody can do it. I lack discipline more than all of you combined. So if I can do it, you guys.
When
can
it comes
do.
To food, I might yeah, be the I might I'm be a Hall of Famer lacking discipline. Anyhow,
let's see. Steve, the boys from Ridge Road in NA send their best, says George Albanese.
He's a good man. Friend of Tony's. Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right, George. You're friend of Tony's, apparently.
Yes. Tony's my best friend.
All right. Is Tony out in the Bada Bing, too, also? Tony sounds like a Bada Bing.
Everybody in New Jersey has a friend named Tony.
Yeah, no, I'm saying.
it's sort of a thing, you know. Now, Tony happens to be my best friend.
Right.
And we say that.
He's really Anthony, but you call him Tony.
No, his mother called him Anthony.
Oh, okay.
His mother calls him Anthony. I didn't call him. I never called him Anthony all my life.
Yeah, no.
I know where every one of his skeletons are.
Tony.
He knows where my skeletons are. And
hey,
we're
Tony.
Like, as a matter of fact,
does he
I'm
eat
going,
pizzas on top of each other?
No. I'm going to breakfast with Tony tomorrow morning.
Okay.
That's a friend. And I've known him since first grade.
Okay.
Since first grade. Him and his brother. Tony and I are having breakfast tomorrow, but Tony from New Jersey, he hangs with the guys there. The guys.
You're the best.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye, my brother. Appreciate you as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All righty.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Let's take a quick break. Give me 2 minutes. Back with more right here on the Big O Radio Show.